All right, back for episode number 7 now. We've already been 7 episodes. We're already 7 episodes deep.
Super deep.
Super deep. Well, back again for this episode. So now going to be another short one. Like we said, we're going to do another shorter one on the later half of the week.
But this is the short one. If the short word didn't get shortly across.
This is a short episode, but we're deep into the week. You know, that's how we like to do things.
You know, sometimes you got to go knuckle deep.
So, start things off. How you doing today, Lane? How you have a good day?
Yeah, I'm a pretty good day, all things concerned. You know, when it comes down to being in a new job, I'm going to say this flat out. You're going to have your bad days, and you just got to deal with it, man. That's it. Yeah, just move on. Chalk it up. Tomorrow's another day.
Facts. Facts. Yeah. Speaking facts.
That's it, man. Just, you know, some life wisdom here. Just, you know, I just want to make sure everyone's taken care of. But
that's what we do on this podcast. Just life wisdom all the time.
Yeah. Just dropping it on you, you know. Sometimes you can put it in the McFlurry machine, and sometimes the McFlurry machine breaks down. Sometimes it doesn't.
All right. I guess we'll get into talking about some video games then for once.
So, what was today's topic? We're going to do first person shooters, right?
Yep, talk all about first-person shooters. It is a type of game genre that I think is probably one of the most popular. Probably, I don't know, would you say it's more popular than RPGs or no?
It's up there. Different style of people, obviously. Sometimes there's some crossover. But, yeah, I mean, first-person shooters, I'd say it's one of the top three, hands down, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking up some history on it, and the first-person documented first-person shooter game came out in 1973, which was a lot older than I thought.
Was it like pong balls being shot at each other or something, or how'd that work out?
How it was like it kind of was that kind of art style like pong, where it was just kind of like a black background with like bright green lines. That's all it was. But it played kind of almost it was like a maze shooter, like. Oh. Your character moved to each tile and could only turn in 90 degrees. So it's like, it was very, very basic, but it was nonetheless a first-person shooter. So
you have to worry about people doing backwards jumps over you and ninja-ing you in the back with an assassination.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, so.
But I think there's, you know, the first-person genre didn't really, in my opinion, didn't really start until the 90s when Wolfenstein and Doom came out. I mean, Doom was huge.
Yeah, it was. Doom was.
I remember, I never actually owned Doom. I only played Doom when my parents had like, they had like a demo disc, and it had like a demo of Doom on it. So like, but I played that demo thousands of times. That's like all I played.
I'll tell you flat out, I played Doom back in the day, and it has not aged well, all things considered. I know that there's some loyalists that will absolutely, you know, want to, you know,
nostalgia, you know,
rip my fingers off for that. But it, you know, for the nostalgia factor, good for them, man. But you know, it's in the time frame that it was released, it was probably the most fun I ever had on a video game. And it's kind of crazy to think at one point I sat down and said, oh my god, this is actually kind of sort of super realistic, man. Like, it felt like you were playing a game no matter what. It didn't feel that immersive like games today. But it was one of those things where just to see the progression of technology was just freaking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and just think about that, how the like some of the first big first-person shooter games was Wolfenstein, the game where you killed Nazis, and the Doom where you're a guy going through hell killing beasts. Like, no wonder
clearly the PC movement was about 20 years too late, because it should have came in at the same time as Wolfenstein, you know?
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
But no wonder why, you know, parents and people looked at those games and were like, yeah, those are bad for kids. Like, you don't want to wake up and see your kids shooting Nazis at 3 a.m., you know, on the computer.
Yeah, you know, I guess that's one way of looking at it. And then on the other side of that, I'm sure there's some parents that were like, I'm proud of my son.
Oh, yeah, no,
daughter.
I mean, that was the 90s was like the time where, like, you know, technology was rapidly evolving. I mean, you know, just even from like, you know, with music, it's video games everywhere. It was computers.
Yeah, we went from disc to MP3, and you know, it was I mean, I even remember whenever they tried coming, it was Sony tried coming out with like those small little like flash drive disc things that they had where they gave away like sample songs at like Taco Bell and stuff. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I had called. An MP3 player that was like a small one, but I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't know Taco Bell did something like that. That's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was some kind of little cartridge that you threw in there, and it would be like wow. a 5-second song clip. And you're sitting there going, oh, my God, this is amazing. But now that I think about it, they might have just been prepping us for something like the iPod, you know?
yeah, I guess. Now that you think about it. Music. Yeah.
Because, like, think about it, man. You know, if you walk around with some, like, CD sleeves in your pocket, you kind of look like an idiot. And people are like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? But if you do it with an iPod, it's totally normal, you know?
True. Yes, I mean, Doom, it was such a huge game, though. It really kind of broke through with the first-person genre. I mean, we didn't get the first Call of Duty game until 2003, 9 years or 11 years later.
Yeah, we've gotten like, I don't know, 16 of them since then, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that. 2003 is when the first one came out. We're in 2019 and still going.
Let me just say this, too. Like, the fact that it's still going, it's a testament to the fact that it does have buying power and staying power. But, like, man, how many other game series have made it 16 games?
Yeah,
besides like, you know, Mario and like, you know, like anything Nintendo. If you mention anything Nintendo, you're freaking cheating, okay? Because that's not fair. Well, we're talking like Xbox, PlayStation 4,
yeah,
PC. Like, not a lot of games make it to 16, you know.
Yeah,
and I mean, Tom Clancy doesn't count either. They're all different types of games.
I mean, you can rip into Activision for a whole lot of things, but you can't deny that if they're going to continue the series for as long as it's been going, they've then doing something right, you know, that's for sure. There,
well, the simplicity of it is what sells, and true. At the same time, you know, their frustration and trying to please investors is that now it's not growing, like they've hit their market cap, you know, there's a peak, which you're gonna keep making and selling them because they sell, right?
Right,
like it's hard to have a high selling AAA game that sells like 8 to 10 million titles, it's not exactly easy. All right, so you can't really expect them to not do it. You know, people keep buying it, so you know, you just got to roll with the punches there.
I mean, they had. I'm trying to think. You know, when was? I mean, I'm trying to think when the first Black Ops game was, because you know, before the Black Ops series, you didn't have all these different investors, or I'm sorry, not investors, developers. You just had one developer making one Call of Duty game. You know, it wasn't like they, we got three different ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, 2010, I think, was the first Black Ops, if I remember correctly.
That sounds about right. I'll go. That sounds about right. But
yeah.
So it's like, that's crazy to think. So for 7 years, they had just one developer working on the series, and it was still successful. And then Treyarch entered in, and it blew it up even more. And then you had Sledgehammer later, who also brought a new take to the series and brought new fans in as well. So
you know what's really funny about that? What was the prequel? Technically, what was the prequel to Call of Duty Black Ops? That's a trick question for you, John.
That's a good – oh, man. Call of Duty Black Ops 1, the prequel to that?
Yeah. It's all allegedly in a connected universe, allegedly. Well, in Black Ops 4, obviously not, but...
My vote would be Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare 1.
No.
Really? No.
Call of Duty World at War.
World at War, yep. Yeah.
Yep. That was a trick question for me. I just randomly scrolled across it, and I'm looking at it going, huh.
World at War, wow.
Didn't see that one coming.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that, man, that takes me back, that game, too. Jeez, wow.
Man, you've been very heavily involved in the Call of Duty series, so.
Well, Duty, but, like, other FPSs have always been, FPS games have really been, like, just my flavor, man. That's just what I've always loved since I've even grown up. I mean, probably the first FPS game I can think of that like I fell in love with was probably 007 Goldeneye in the 64. That was probably the one I fell in love with. Like, I played that game inside and out. I knew all the levels, all the campaigns, played out all the difficulties, all the cheat codes. That game was my bread and butter. It was the best thing ever for me. And the 64, they had a few of those. So it's like they had a few different James Bond games come out on there. So James Bond games that's where it was at for me growing up.
Fair enough.
But and I didn't get into Call of Duty. I mean, Call of Duty didn't really. I got into Call of Duty probably a little later than probably most people have. I played Call of Duty 2 at like some friends' houses, but here and there, and it was fun. But I never really owned a Call of Duty or really played it through by myself. Probably not until MW2, Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
And so that took a while. Actually, even, I don't know if you remember this series, but do you remember there was the Medal of Honor series?
Yeah, I do remember Medal of Honor.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't, I didn't think it was that too bad of a series. And I think at the time when Medal of Honor was coming out, people kind of looked at that in Call of Duty and were like, kind of like how they looked at Call of Duty and Battlefield. You know, they kind of looked at the two and were like, ooh, you know, what if Battlefield gets more popular than Call of Duty? What?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, there was a little competition there for a while. And then I don't know what happened with Medal of Honor. I don't remember.
Honestly, yeah, I have no idea. I mean, the last Medal of Honor I remember playing was they had like a Medal of Honor. I think it was called like Rising Sun, where it was all about Pearl Harbor. And
yeah,
that was a pretty good one. I liked that one. But the Medal of Honor series itself, I think it was made, let's see, it was made and developed by EA. And so EA was the one that was sitting there, I think, you know, just rivaling them. And yeah, that's kind of interesting to think about that.
Well, it looks like DICE bought, or, well, DICE is like who, I think DICE makes.
They made Battlefield.
Yeah, DICE used to make Medal of Honor.
Yeah, well, that's insane. So there's a point where DICE said, you know what, Medal of Honor just ain't doing it. They must have known that it just wasn't happening.
Well, originally, the first story was by filmmaker Steven Spielberg.
Really?
Yep, and then they had Medal of Honor Underground. It looks like they had a bi-yearly release, roughly. They hit the 13th game in the series in 2010, and then...
Yeah.
I think EA bought them, and...
They became...
They haven't done much since then.
Right, well, I think DICE themselves, they kind of just got probably absorbed into EA. And then, you know, that's when they started. I think they probably just are now working on Battlefield. I think that's probably what they do. If I could.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, EA Los Angeles, EA Los Angeles.
Yeah.
EA Canada. Yeah, they probably just didn't stop selling well. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, they were, at that time, I want to say Battlefield was also there. So they were probably releasing it the alternating years between Battlefield and. Mm-hmm. You know, they were just alternating years, and they probably just lost more and more people buying it. So they're like, screw it, we'll just go in with Battlefield, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, not just there's some other games too, but that were first person shooters as well. I mean, especially now you got more first person games coming out. You know, like you have even, I think, you know, even they'll have like Far Cry is a good one. That's a good first person shooter. That's always been a good series. Even some horror games and like so, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. I think Resident Evil even did a first person one. I may be wrong. I'm not sure.
It was maybe third? No, it was first person. The one that I'm thinking of where it was a mansion.
Mansion
was definitely first person.
Okay, yeah.
They were in a mansion. I don't remember which Resident Evil it was. I'm not a big Resident Evil guy. The zombie thing just never really caught on with me.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people love them, and there's a reason why there's tons of zombie killing games that are out, and more power to you if you love them, man. But it's just not my cup of tea, you know.
But you know, Call of Duty is great, Battlefield great, Medal of Honor was great, but there's one first person series that we think, yeah, and everyone can. I think everybody, if you're a gamer, you've played this game, and that's Halo. Halo was
a PlayStation 4 fanboy.
Yeah, I mean, all right, yeah. Granted, if you are a PlayStation fanboy and you've only owned PlayStations, and yeah, you probably. But I think even then, you've probably been to a friend's house. You've probably been somewhere and played it. You know,
absolutely.
This game, I mean, it launched with the original Xbox.
It was the first. It was one of the first games I think that did online multiplayer, if I remember correctly.
Could have been, yeah.
It was on Xbox Live, and it was actually accessible because, you know, PlayStation 2 released its own live service in a way, but it was very complicated to set up.
Yeah, I remember.
He was a simpleton like me, so.
I remember a friend of mine. I remember when that happened, when PlayStation came out with their online service of the PS2, and he actually did it. It was a pretty complicated setup, but there was a bunch of cables, special cables you had to buy for the PS2. And he actually did it so he could play SOCOM online. SOCOM was a third-person shooter, but
yeah.
But anyways, Halo. You know, Halo came out in 2001 with the Xbox. It was the launch game of the original Xbox, and that was ever since then, Halo has always been Microsoft's kind of baby. You know, I know there's a whole bunch of drama with Microsoft Studios and Bungie early on, and you know that whole thing happened, and then Bungie left the series later with 343. But even today, I mean, I know Halo has changed like a lot since the first, but it's still like a staple in the industry. It's still holding strong, I think, even today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, Halo 4, Halo 5, they were both kind of tough releases for the most part. They did sell well commercially. I think Halo always will. And, it's good and bad, right?
Do you think they'll ever end Halo? I mean, they said they were going to do what, up to Halo 6, and do you think they'll end it?
No, of course not. You know, the Halo franchise itself, there's too much to possibly make with it. So, when it comes down to it, I don't think they're going to end it. You know, it's part of the Master Chief Saga is now what they're calling it. Originally, it was the Forerunner Trilogy. Now it's the Master Chief Saga, so it's, all six.
Yeah,
I think they'll end Chief's story. I think they're going to have to start really thinking about what the future of Halo is afterwards.
Yeah.
And I also think them spending all, there is a rumor right now that the budget for development for Halo Infinite is $800 to $900 million.
Wow. That's insane.
Between the new engine, between the years that are going into the game, they are setting Halo up for the future. They are not. They're looking at it going, we might break even on this first game, maybe. They probably will outperform it, to be honest with you, especially if they release it with the new console. But what they're aiming for is, with this new engine, they're they're looking to absolutely corner the market. And Halo is their trump card. It really is.
Yeah.
If you release a Halo at release with a console,
it's going to sell.
It looks amazing. People will buy it.
It's going to sell, yeah. I mean, Halo 5 came out 2015 it came out, so it's been 4 years, close to 4 years. It'll be 4 years in October since it's come out, and that's already a good chunk of time to spend on a new game. But I think even now more than ever, they want to make sure they spend a lot of time on this new game, because like you said, it's going to be, without a doubt, it's going to be a launch game for the new console, without a doubt. What do you think the new console is going to come out? You think it's going to be soon, or a few years, 2 years, 3 years?
I think it's going to be fall of next year.
Next year,
I think if they announce it at E3, then it's going to be a year away. They have been working on it. There's been rumors going around for the past year that this is what it's going to have. Usually, when those rumors start coming out, you're a year away from actually hearing anything that sound like fully, locked in. I mean, at this point, with the Google Stadia coming out and then PlayStation pulling out because they're going to be probably trying to compete on the release time frame. What PlayStation did fantastically is they released the PlayStation 4 before the Xbox One.
Right.
That gave them a heck of a competitive advantage, So I could see that's why I think Xbox was trying to release it before them. It's one of those things where it's just been a huge curveball like that. But I could see it coming out fall of next year, and that's always going to be in the fall no matter what, because Christmas season, and you're gonna get people buying them at that time, right? People are more likely to open their wallets a bit, so that's kind of my prediction there. And I think Halo Infinite's gonna ship with it.
That makes sense to me. I mean, I was, earlier I looked it up, and the Xbox 360 came out in 2005. The Xbox One came out 2013. So there's an 8-year span there. So, I mean, it would make sense if we had one in 2020. It'd be about 7 years then.
Yeah. Every 7 to 8 years, you see one.
That's so.
How it goes.
It makes sense. Now, do you think then PlayStation is going to rival that and come out with theirs next year, too? You think they'll do that?
Sorry, say that again.
Do you think PlayStation will then come out with their new console next year, too?
I don't know. PlayStation has stayed very tight-lipped. I don't really understand their attitude right now, and I say that because it seems like they're kind of having this holier-than-now attitude that Xbox had when they had their 360 dominating PlayStation 3. So yeah. I'm kind of seeing the pendulum swing more towards Xbox's favor because Xbox learned from their mistakes, and I could see the Sony reps, their greed causing more mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I that's my guess, right? And then to be specific, by the way, when I say the most expensive budget, the budget for the game itself is $500 million. Usually $300 to $400 million is going to go into actual, like, marketing.
Right.
So, and I can see them doing that huge marketing push to get back fan bases after what they did the Halo 4 and Halo 5. It's by far going to be the biggest budget, hands down, because even Destiny 2 and like Modern Warfare 2, they didn't even exceed $300 million budgets. So, you know, double that, and that's usually what the marketing is. So you do the math.
Do you think they've been planning for this for a while? Like, I mean, Halo, because, I mean, you look at it, Halo 4 didn't do so good, and Halo 5, I think, was better than Halo 4, but it's, you know, still average. But you know, you think like what back in like Halo 4, they must have seen this coming like back in Halo 4 that a new console was coming up, so they had to get prepared for this new Halo.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they work for Microsoft Studios, and
yeah,
Bonnie Ross did an interview that I really appreciated. I think the timing ended up just being one of those things where they're like, look, we think we're going to push this game around this time. Well, oh, that's when we're going to probably release our new console. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a few extra years to actually work on it.
Yeah,
and they're like, perfect, because the game engine, you know, for some reason, 343 has struggled with the game engine Halo was running on, and it might just be that it was a little bit outdated, you know?
Could be, yeah.
Maybe some of the tools were just impractical with the technology that was being added to it. And if you notice, like in Halo 4, it took forever for them to fix basic issues. Like just settings was awkward. Whereas Halo 5, they seem to get it a little bit more. They seem to have a little bit more of like a system. So I think what they're doing is they're taking their experiences from both games. Bonnie Ross flat out said, you know, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to play through every single Halo game myself to understand better what we need to make here. She actually sat that back, went to square one. She was looking at notes that were left by Bungie through previous development cycles, allegedly. And she is trying to bring back what was the core Halo spirit, the mystery, the mystique that was behind it. Because the thing that made Chief the most appealing to me was the fact that you didn't really get much from him, but the silence was powerful, you know? Not to get away too much from the first-person shooter.
No, yeah. He was a powerful character. Probably one of the best characters in any game at the time when it came out.
Had the greatest one-liners of all time.
That too. The fact that you had a character who was a mysterious guy but also talked, that honestly is kind of rare. Because most games, when you have a main character who's like supposed to be that mysterious, you know, player, he usually is just a silent dude. You know, he never talks in the story. So seeing that, like, plus, like you said, he's got good one-liners, and he interacts with it's not like his interactions with the other characters in the story, they're not really awkward. It kind of makes it pretty smooth and pretty, everyone's pretty like, you know, relaxed around him, or, you know, it's not like a hero. It's like, he doesn't look like he's like a hero all the time, just like another soldier there to kind of help out, you know, which is great. And it makes you kind of feel like you're more relatable to him, you know, when you look at, you know, play through the story, which is nice. But you get a deeper connection with him too, because of that. So when bad things happen to him, you get you feel that connection. So
absolutely. And, you know, like, going, but, you know, kind of circling back with it, like, with Halo Infinite, I am excited for it. I think 343 is finally going to get it right. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Halo 5 was a step in the right direction. I know a lot of people don't necessarily feel that way. But if it, from a comparison purpose, you're a studio that just randomly got tossed together to take over one of the greatest IPs ever, you're not going to get it right your first time. There's going to be learning curves. And even your second time, you're going to see room for improvement, but you might not capture that core of what makes the game great.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe they were trying so hard to recapture something that they lost some of the innovation that they could have made with it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think they went back to the drawing board. There's rumors that, you know, it's going to be kind of like a Call of Duty Ghosts, or not Call of Duty Ghosts, but what is it? Halo 3 ODST style campaign where you can walk around and interact with the environment and start missions that way.
That'd be amazing.
There's going to be allegedly like RPG elements while you're on the Halo ring. It looks kind of cool that way. I think it's actually kind of an interesting step in the right direction where you're kind of adding a little bit of action adventure to it.
Yep.
I think it'd be an interesting take, which kind of goes back to like the evolution of first person shooters.
Yep.
It's they're taking steps to evolve what the genre is.
Not just similar point
to court. How looter shooters were.
Yeah.
Looter shooters weren't really a thing. And then, you know, they took some MMO style elements, and like Borderlands was the first to really do it well.
Right.
I mean,
you can't forget Borderlands.
Capture it.
You know, the Borderlands is that you said it's a looter shooter, and when the first Borderlands came out, it really kind of carved its own, like, you know, piece into the FPS genre. It just stood out from the rest, and no one could touch it. And it's even today, it still stands. It's true. There are some other honorable mentions for FPS games I want to mention too. Early on, of course, you had one of the biggest FPS games on PC, Counter-Strike. You know, that game even today is still like, I think, one of the biggest PC shooters of all time. Because it's such an easy game to get into, but it's hard to master. And I don't know if you've ever watched it, but you watch those professional players play, and they're insane. But Counter-Strike will always be the same, will always be around, I think, forever on PC. I think, what other good first-person shooters that just come off the top of my head, I'm thinking of Team Fortress. If you ever played Team Fortress 2, that was a big game back on when the Orange Box came out for the Xbox, and they had Team Fortress, Portal, and Half-Life. You know, you can't forget Half-Life either. That was a huge series. Great storytelling in that game, and just awesome gameplay too. Trying to think what else was out at the time. And how could I forget? One of the best horror FPS shooters, the game Fear. That game, I don't know if you've ever played Fear before.
You know, I never really got into Fear. The horror FPS thing was just not my thing.
Yeah. It was. Like,
I like Dead Space. It was cool, but I honestly, I get jumpy, and I don't like being scared, so I try to avoid that stuff.
Yeah, I'm more of a comedy guy than I am a horror guy, so these kind of games I don't really play a lot of, but Fear was definitely at the time when it came out, like I think around like the early 2000s. It was like not just because it was a first person shooter was it fun. But because the developers were able to make a horror game out of the first person genre and make it the storytelling and the way your character interacts with the world itself, they made it so interesting with the lighting and even just the sounds. And at that time, that wasn't really, I mean, it was not really, it was big for the industry, I think, in first person shooters. Later on, of course, you had other, horror games come out later on, like you said, Dead Space. That was third person, but still another good horror game at the time. I'm trying to think what other games that you can think of that are first person. One I also mentioned is BioShock. Series that everybody loved from the first one to BioShock Infinite. And I'm curious about that series too. I want to see where that series goes. If they're going to bring back BioShock, you think they'll bring that series back?
You know, that's tough to say. I think BioShock Infinite was a good way for a send-off. I think it might take a few years off, but
yeah,
I always thought BioShock kind of was – it was really interesting because when it first started out, it was really good in the horror kind of aspect.
Oh, yeah.
And it got a little bit lighter as it went on. I know BioShock 2 wasn't the greatest.
Yeah, that was the one that caught a lot of flack.
Yeah.
People weren't, big fans of it. But like you said, Infinite, I think Infinite came back. And I played Infinite myself, and I've watched my friends play it too. And it's a fun game. But yeah, it's not nearly as was really all out kind of like. It was a great blend of first person shooter and like horror, in a sense that it was like you're in this big utopia, underwater utopia, but here's how it all went wrong. You know, here's all the crap that happened, and there's a lot of just hidden gems in that game. And it was actually made by 2K Games, BioShock was, which yeah. I didn't even know that. Which is kind of interesting to think about. So I wonder if they'll ever make another BioShock. I hope they do. Because the storytelling in that series has always interested me, because they always try to find a way to somehow tie the games together so it's kind of endless there. But other first person shooters, is there any of them that really just jump out at you
I think when we're talking about major AAAs, I'm sure there's some that we're gonna miss.
Yeah.
I think what's really interesting to me, and something I really wanted to kind of direct the conversation towards now, if you're cool with that, kind of the evolution of what first person is turning into.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, we look at like Call of Duty, right? Went on to the Battle Royale craze.
Yeah.
So his Battlefield. A lot of first-person shooters are going the looter shooter way. Now all of a sudden we're talking first-person RPG action-adventure. Like,
yeah,
they're all starting to kind of merge together and kind of develop. Some franchises a little bit more innovative than others. Like, I would say Halo's more on the innovative side. Call of Duty's more on the we're going to follow the trend side.
Mm-hmm.
The companies that are doing the innovative stuff like Borderlands, whenever they're like, oh, we got 16 billion guns or whatever it was. Things like that, that's going to be really interesting to watch, because if you kind of look at the sales of first-person shooters, there's not a lot of them that really take off anymore. There's kind of a set expectation on what there's like a ceiling now,
yeah.
You know, like you're going to sell about X if it's a great first person shooter.
And, you look at some of the first person shooters that like, I agree with you, in order for first person shooter FPS to really be not just be a first person shooter, but it has to be something else too. It has to be an RPG, yeah. Or it has to be a looter shooter.
Yeah, like that. It seems like they've kind of realized, like, okay, for us to take this to the next level,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have to add some crap in here, you know? Halo had its own version of, what was it? It was Firefight at one point.
Yeah.
And that was kind of beginning a trend in a way. You know, Gears of War had Horde mode. Like, Gears of War is not a first-person shooter, of course. That's a third-person. But you get what I'm saying. Like, games start to chase trends a little bit. But
yeah.
You're seeing some companies, like, you know, Destiny is definitely trying to capitalize on Borderlands with their own twist, right? The exotic weapons are a hell of a twist. They really are.
Yeah.
There's certain unique things that they can switch around, but like something like an exotic weapon, that concept has been around for a long time. They're merging that into the genre though. And it goes back to why Bungie wanted to leave Microsoft to begin with. They wanted to do something that was a little bit more different and innovative. And Microsoft was like, but why? You're making bank doing Halo, you know?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let them change the formula. And now 343 is all of a sudden allowed to change the formula. Go figure, right? But
yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like the first-person shooter genre kind of hit its ceiling. And now for people to kind of take things to the next level on a lovable game or like the most played game, you're starting to see elements get added into them. And it's going to be really interesting to see which game, like when it comes down to traditional AAAs, like the titles, which ones are going to be innovative and which ones are just going to be trend chasing? Because, like, I don't know what you can do that's innovative with Modern Warfare 4, even though everybody wants it.
Right.
It's going to be the same as all the other Call of Duties.
Well, you think, I mean, you, I think Call of Duty kind of has the generic FPS market kind of cornered. You know, any other kind of first-person shooter that's literally just a first-person shooter, they don't do good. The only one that does that well is Call of Duty. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Battlefield does okay.
Yeah,
they would have done better, but they just, I guess when you tell people not to buy your stuff, then they don't, you know, you can't be really too surprised.
And also, I want to get into, too, is, you know, you're talking about first-person shooters evolving, too, is that even with the introduction of virtual reality and augmented reality, you get now different types of first-person shooters where it literally is point-and-click, like, because you're in the game and you're using your hands. And that's taking first-person to even a whole new level, because it's literally is first-person. Yeah, that I watched a few demos on that. I've seen a bunch of other VR first person games, just tech demos of the people with firing guns. I highly suggest checking out, I think it's called Boneworks, is like a first person VR game. Well, I think, you know, for VR games, all of them are first person VR. You know, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
You don't have having a third person VR game would be kind of weird, but yeah, that VR in general just has changed that landscape. But I totally agree. You know, if you're going to have a first-person game, it has to be unique in its own way, or it's gotta do two genres at once. That's really the only way it's going to find success, unless you're Call of Duty, that is.
Yeah. And I mean, like, if you look at third-person, third-person's even doing the same thing now. Like, look at The Division.
Yeah.
That's not just a regular third-person shooter like Gears of War was.
Right.
There's an actual tangible story. There's a map you can explore, which, you know, it's funny because, like, before it felt like all these things had to be separate and in their own niche, but there's people that are sitting there going, why, you know?
Do you think, like, third person, like, all right, if you take Gears of War and you compare it to, let's say, just Call of Duty, do you really think the first person, the third person, like the viewpoint, does that really make that big of a difference?
It does.
You know, I think in my eyes, you know, people just kind of classify Gears in that same category. I mean, even though
it does, because in a first person shooter, typically your character is you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in a third person, there's an established character.
That makes sense. So,
or like you create the character and you can actually interact with the character. Like, a lot of people are knocking on Anthem right now. And they're like, well, you know, there's not a lot of customizability.
Right.
It wouldn't be a problem if the game was purely first person. Nobody would really give a crap what you look like. You know what I mean? Because you don't see it. So, like, if, you know, when you don't see something, it's not there.
Well, do you think we'll ever have like a first? Well, all right. I guess I already just answered my question, but I was going to ask, you know, do you think we'll ever have a first-person game that will have cosmetics that, you know, you don't really see? And I already answered it in my head, and that's called, you know, Black Ops, Call of Duty Black Ops. You already have cosmetics that you really don't even see unless it's weapon skins.
Yeah, pretty much.
But which is kind of interesting in itself, you know, how they do that. But
it is funny because on a psychological level, they're just taking advantage of the impulse to buy.
Yeah.
I mean, because really, you don't see any of that stuff. So what's the value? Well, so it's you'll see people that have played like, you know, 1,000, 2,000 games, haven't bought a single skin.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, why don't they have a skin? In your head, you're saying that. But the reality is they're smart enough to go, there's literally no value because it doesn't change my gaming experience.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, you can look at Destiny too. I mean, like, you get an exotic helmet or something, you're not like, you don't see that when you're playing the game. You know, it's not going to change your experience. But when you do get an exotic, you're going to go up to your friends and be like, yo, dude, look at this. Look at this exotic. Isn't it cool? Like, you want to show it off. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, when people get, and like, from the perspective of, like, you know, how you look, people see, like, in Destiny, you can see yourself in the tower at least.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are times where you can.
Yeah. And it's funny because if you think about it, Anthem's the opposite.
Yeah, actually, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, it's literally the opposite.
It's literally the opposite of it. Like,
yeah,
you're in whatever their version of the tower is, and it's first person, so you can't see any customization. Then you get out in the real world, and it's all third person, and you can see the lack of customization.
If I'm being honest, I kind of found that bizarre, that the fact that you're in first person in that tower or wherever you want in the city.
Yeah, that's an understatement. That entire game is just bizarre to me. And yeah. I'm not trying to be insensitive when I'm saying that. I'm saying that because, like, there's a lot of head scratchers that are going on there. I don't live there, so I can't answer them fully. But, you know, Jason Schreier's article with Kotaku does a solid job of that.
Mm-hmm.
It does a really good job of explaining to people, hey, this is what's going on with this. So if you're interested in that, definitely read his articles. I don't necessarily agree with how he handles himself sometimes. But at the same time, I can honestly say those two articles that he released on BioWare over the past week and a half are just fantastic. Very well done. And that's where real reporting comes in. If he does more like that, I'm going to keep reading his articles.
And, you know, with first person shooters, I think, you know, whether you're from the old times playing Doom or playing GoldenEye to, you know, now with Call of Duty, it's incredible just to see the journey, just to see how it's changed over the years, gone from literally just, like, you know, in 1970s when they hit that first one came out, it was just like a tile movement game where it's just basic as hell, to now where we can jump on walls and, you know, fly through the air and do all crazy stuff. It's incredible to see. And I think FPSs in general, you know, I think they're never going to disappear, because it's just so, I don't know, I don't want to use the word addicting, but it's just so enjoyable to just be able to put yourself into that first person aspect, get all these cool weapons, this cool armor and stuff, and hanging out with your friends, whether you're playing, or, you know, maybe you're just playing horror FPS or you're playing an RPG by yourself. Either way, it's great, you know.
By the way, when we say short podcast, that means we're probably going to talk for 2 hours.
yeah, we probably went over the limit here. Definitely over a half hour, probably.
Well over that. About 15 minutes over that so far.
But, yeah, well, I think we'll end it there. I think if I have nothing else to say on first-person shooters, really, I think we kind of went through that was a good history recap and just pointed out a lot of, you know, big names in the FPS world. But if you like the podcast, go ahead, rate us. If you're on Apple Podcasts, share it around on social media. Give us a comment. Look at MWM Games Podcast. That's MWM Games Podcast. Give us a follow. You can see when we post new episodes. We'll also just post little quotes from the episodes too, because we're going to start doing that. And if you have any suggestions of what future episodes you want to see, go ahead, let us know. So throw a comment our way, or, you know, send us a DM, message, whatever. Let us know your feedback. But, you know, thanks for listening.
Make sure you tell me that I'm pretty as well.
Yeah, you have to tell him he's pretty, but tell him that his dog is prettier than him.
You know what? I won't even disagree with that. He's adorable, and he is. I have a strange feeling that if you ask women who have dated me and who will date me, they will say 90% of the time it's because of the dog.
I don't disagree with that.
Thank you.
But all right, guys, we'll catch you guys next time. We'll see you next week on episode number 8, or who knows what we'll talk about. See you later.
Bye. See you guys. Bye.